On the new NBC show, Harry's Law, Kathy Bates plays a patent lawyer gone rogue. After a series of random, life-altering events, she ends up running a law office out of an abandoned shoe store in a crime-ridden neighborhood in Cincinnati and has to beg her insurance agent to extend malpractice coverage.
You work in a high-risk neighborhood.
The bad section is at least a block over. Ours...
Yes, well, murderers have been known to take the occasional stroll.
I've had a homeowner's policy with you people for years.
Harry, you leave your cushy practice for... What are you doing?
Paul, if I knew, I'd tell you. It's possible I've lost my mind. The good news is I can still practice law as a lunatic, perhaps even more effectively. But I can't do it legally without malpractice insurance.
Well, Harry goes on to win that argument, and so far every case she's taken since the show premiered last week. Kathy Bates joins us in just a moment. If you've seen Harry's Law and have questions for Kathy Bates, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Kathy Bates is with us at our studios at NPR West in Culver City, California. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks very much, Neil. It's nice to be here.
And I should mention, the storefront is actually called Harriet's Law and Fine Shoes. And I've got to ask, what's with the shoes?
Well, I think according to David E. Kelly, who created the show, it was a shoe store that was one of the pioneers in trying to move in and gentrify the neighborhood a bit and then failed. Those of us who lived in New York have seen that happen many times. And the owner, I guess, was in such straits that he left the shoes behind. So it's a bit of realism and a bit of maybe implausibility there on David's part. But the shoes are there. And Jenna Backstrom, played by Brittany Snow, plays my assistant, is in love with shoes and decides that she's going to make that part of the going concern.
And so that becomes a part of the plot line, how the Prada is moving, as well as the legal advice.
Yes.
It's interesting, you mentioned David E. Kelly, the co-creator of the series, and I guess the writer of at least the first two episodes. And, well, he's got a long history of TV lawyers. You've joined a distinguished stable.
Yes, I guess I have, certainly on the heels of James Bader and Bill Shatner. I met Bill Shatner at a press event on the weekend. It was nice to press the flesh with him. And they've gotten quite a history with Boston Legal. And we also have a couple of veterans from the practice, Cameron Manheim and Steve Harris, Steve Harris, who have come on our show to do supporting roles, and you'll be seeing them later on this season.
But the lineage goes back to Ally McBeal and indeed to L.A. Law, so you've got quite a legal mind there who's writing the script.
Yeah, he loves that as a format to talk about issues that are before us, and he's very eager to talk more. He said in the last year and a half since Boston Legal, he was getting a little squirrely, to put it is the way David said, and he really wished that he had a platform to talk about issues that are facing the country today, especially now.
Well, talking about issues in the second episode, an 87-year-old black woman, a neighborhood woman, comes on trial for armed robbery and comes to you with a sock full of $26 in coins and asks for your help. You get her off with the, quote, she's an 87-year-old grandmother defense.
Yes, more or less. I think even Harry thinks the verdict is a bit preposterous at the end. But I think she was able to show that the woman had humanity and that she had fallen on hard times like so many of us in the country and was able to make a sympathetic case for the jury.
So far, both of your clients have been, in the verdict of the, we remember from the producers, incredibly guilty, but they've both gotten off.
Well, actually, Malcolm didn't get off. Malcolm was found guilty by the jury. The judge suspended the sentence with the caveat that he had to complete a drug rehabilitation program. So technically, Malcolm was found guilty. And there are many other cases coming up that Harry will not necessarily win.
There's some interesting side characters. You just mentioned Malcolm. He comes into your life literally out of the sky.
Yes, he's a lovely actor named Emil Amin, and he makes his entrance from six stories up. And he is a distraught young man who has now a third charge on him as a drug user, and he's terrified of going to prison, and he's worried about his college education, and his desperation gets the best of him, and he jumps off a building, and he hits an awning first, which saves his life, and then he hits Harry when she's walking along the street below him. She sees right through his bravado and realizes that he's in a bad way, and he comes to her and asks her for help, and he turns out being her first client in the new shoe store.
And indeed, the regular set of characters, at least those we've met so far, all of them seem to be stumbling from one defeat after another and wind up at this storefront law office.
Well, in a way, yes, except I think Nate Cordry, who's played by, Nate Cordry plays Adam Branch.
Right.
He runs into Harriet with his car. He actually is coming from a cushy law firm on his own.
Yes, but he just broke up with his girlfriend.
Well, this is true. He did break up with his girlfriend, played by Jordana Spiro. But I think he was tempted to – I think he first comes to work for Harry for a couple of weeks as a kind of thank you for not suing me. Hmm. And then he gets caught by the neighborhood itself in the same way that Harriet has.
We're talking with Kathy Bates, who plays Harriet Corn on the new NBC show Harry's Law. If you'd like to talk with her, if you've seen the program, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org, and we'll start with Joanne. Joanne's calling us from San Antonio.
Okay. Well, that may not be too gushy, but Kathy, I just love, love, love you.
Thank you very much, Joanne.
I'm of the same age. We're baby boomers. We can do anything. And I'm glad that finally somebody is recognizing us as, you know, part of, you know, this society. You know, you find a lot of these young people. I don't see any of these young people that play on the CSI portions, right? Where, oh, they've got such great wit. You, me, I see. We're it, you know. We're brave, we're strong, and we're smart. So thank you for that. And you're absolutely adorable on this. I'll take anything you want to say off the air.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to play a 60-plus on network TV. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's rare that we see that kind of character on television nowadays, and especially a woman. And so I'm glad David E. Kelley has given me a shot to do this, and thanks so much for your kind words.
I'm interested in the decisions you had to have made about your appearance on the show. It doesn't seem to me you're dyeing your hair.
No. Originally, we talked about wigging me, and I remember the day that the hair guy came over to try a red wig on me with blonde wigs, all kinds of stuff. And I had been coloring my own hair, but I'd let it grow out. And, you know, when I went in for my costume, we did pick out a red wig that we thought looked nice. And then when I went in for my costume fitting, I just couldn't imagine that red wig on top of my head. And it just didn't seem very hairy to me. And so I had a chat with the producer, and he had to chat with somebody higher up, and we finally got the permission to just let me look the way I wanted to look, which was my initial response when I read the screenplay. It was originally written for a man, Harry,
mm-hmm.
and he was a very rumpled kind of character, and he didn't strike me as the sort of guy who would dye his hair, so I just wanted to leave things the way they were.
Let's see if we get another caller in. Let's go to Jay. Jay with us from Cincinnati.
Hi. Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call again, Neil.
Sure.
And Kathy, you are an amazing actress. It's always fun to watch you. But my question was, I was wondering how much about Cincinnati either you or Mr. Kelley know, if there's going to be any of the real Cincinnati flavor making its way onto the show, or if you're going to deal with any of the unique history or legal ramifications of work of living here. This is an Appalachian town. It's a really conservative town. There's a very strong German Catholic flavor to everything. And I'm sorry, I haven't seen the show, but it seems like the part of town that you're supposed to be in is over the Rhine. I'm just curious how much of that makes its way into the story, how much y'all are cognizant of.
In these few episodes, I don't think there's been that much awareness. I mean, and this more is David's bailiwick. I imagine if we stay around a second season, we'd be getting into that. But so far, we've had to make do with the back lot. And I remember Cincinnati from my days at Louisville, Kentucky, doing a theater there. We used to go across the river and go to Value City and buy high heels and whatever else we could afford. So I'm hoping that we would get into the flavor of Cincinnati and what's really going on in the city there. I think it would probably make for some wonderful stories.
Terrific. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jay.
Jay would point out that they eat their chili on spaghetti there in Cincinnati. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. It's a big thing. I've never been a fan, but people do that here.
Well, not give out your last name, Jay, so you can bear that in silence.
Yeah, well, if anybody hears me, all right. Thanks again, Neil.
So long.
Bye.
We're talking with Kathy Bates, who plays Harriet Corn on the new NBC show Harry's Law. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. And I remember reading an interview with you, Kathy Bates, and I think this was just after you were up for an Oscar in, of course, Misery. And you said you'd made the decision to move from New York to Los Angeles because, in part, you were a little tired of seeing the roles that you originated in theater going to other actresses when they were made into movies, and in part because you figured you could go to Hollywood and either get a TV series or get a big movie part and do whatever you wanted. Has it worked out that way?
Well, it's taken me a while, but I think, yes, now I can say it's worked out.
Let's see if we can get another caller in. Let's go to Marcello. Marcello with us from Charlotte.
Hi. Kathy, I love you. I love all your movies. I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the time slot at 10 o'clock on NBC?
Well, you know, it's probably not company policy for me to weigh in on this, but I think it would be really good at 9 o'clock myself. I think we might get a lot more viewers, and it would be interesting to see how it worked out anyway. I wish they'd do a trial.
Yeah, that's the same thing I thought. The same thing happened to my show, Twin Peaks, and my favorite show, Twin Peaks, and it ended because of the time slot.
One of those shows that kind of lost its way, too.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, Marcello, thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to, this is Jeff. Jeff with us from Webster in New York.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for taking my call, Neil.
Sure.
Kathy, as an actor, I consider you an inspiration. I love everything that you do, and I gain something from every role that you portray. And one of my very favorite roles, as is my mom's favorite role of yours, is Dolores Claiborne.
Mm.
And I was wondering if you would just talk a little bit about preparing for that role. I think it's a very compelling role that you took on so well. It's just a movie I can watch over and over again.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that up. It's my favorite role of all the roles I've done, and it's because of Taylor Hackford, the director. And he gave me a couple of months before we started shooting, which is rare in film, to really prepare for the role. I worked with a dialect coach for the main dialect, and I worked with a movement coach to try and understand the difference in moving when you're 35 years old, when, you know, we see Dolores, and then at 55 years old when she's had a hard life. And he also brought in some of the best wig and makeup artists from Italy to help me make that age change. And I had the movement and the dialect coach there on set with me for every take so that I could make sure I was doing Dolores and not me. And it was always with an eye to what is the character doing at this time? How is the character moving? And I doubt I'll ever have that luxury of working that way again, but it was so wonderful because it was how I was trained to work as an actor when I went to school. And it was also an opportunity for me as a character actor to play a lead character that goes all the way through the film. So it's one of my fondest memories working. We shot it up in now my mind's just gone out off from underneath me here.
Maine?
No, we were up higher than that. We were in, I'll think of it in a minute. It was a beautiful location.
Where did you get your degree? Where did you go to school?
I went to Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, and it was a very interesting time to be there. We had originally a theater department with your regular kind of theater department curriculum, but Bob Hope and others sunk a lot of money in the department at that time, and we finally ended up with a real conservatory by the time I left the school in late 1969, with a proper couple of theaters to work in, and it was just really a magnificent experience going to school there.
Jeff, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank
on the show.
You.
And before we let you go, you've obviously been up for the Oscar for Best Actress and Best Supporting as well. There are 20 people waking up this morning pinching themselves to find out, yes, it is real. They were nominated. I wonder if you have any advice for them about what the next couple of months are going to be like.
Well, I think they should enjoy every minute because even being nominated is an honor that's afforded to very few. And it's a great honor by the Academy. And they recognize the very best in film work. And so, I mean, I know it's all pointing toward that one night, you know, will they be walking away with the Oscar, but they should enjoy all of these moments right now. I think there's going to be a wonderful, wonderful governor's luncheon there is every year to welcome them. That's often the most fun, to gather with all your other nominees and to put aside your feelings of wanting to beat out all the other people. And you get to sit around with everybody and talk about your achievements, and it's a fun thing to do. And So I advise them to enjoy every minute.
Is there one thing they should not do?
I don't know. I can't think of it that way. I guess, you know, they shouldn't worry so much about winning. I guess they should just enjoy being there.
Kathy Bates, thanks very much, and good luck with Harry's Law.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Kathy Bates plays Harriet Korn on the new NBC program, Harry's Law. You can see it Monday nights. Kathy Bates joined us from our studios at NPR West. Tomorrow, we'll be broadcasting from Texas Public Radio in San Antonio, weather permitting. This is NPR News.